You are listening to Hashtag Fly with Prerna Goel, award-winning entrepreneur, investor, philanthropist, and co-founder of Clinica Fi, India's first truly virtual eye and face corrective clinic.
We constantly define ourselves by our relationships, and a failed relationship can forever make us unsure of our identity and purpose. So how do we find a way back to our true self? And how do we learn to love ourselves again? Thank you for joining me for today's episode of Hashtag Fly, where I have an unbounded chat with Mamta Dhingra, a fellow podcaster and a PR executive with an impressive personal and professional story. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming and sharing your story with us on Hashtag Fly. Thank you so much.
Pleasure is all mine.
So, Mamta, I typically start my podcast with the same question because I believe it sets the stage and context for the whole conversation. And it is really trying to understand your perspective on what falling in love with yourself or loving yourself mean to you.
So in a very unbounded way, I would say that falling in love with yourself all begins with accepting yourself, accepting who you are, and also accepting who you are not. If you are not that perfect person, then you're not that perfect person. And there's no bit of guilt, shame, regret, remorse about being who you are.
I love that, and that articulation of it's not just about loving all the good parts about yourself, but also not so good parts about yourself as well. Because I think somehow people think that when you go on this journey, you suddenly start loving everything about yourself. That's not what it is. So thank you for sharing that. So talk to us about your journey. Talk to us, what is your journey and how did you get to this place of, you know what, I'm happy with who I am, the life I have led and what has brought me to where I am at today?
My journey is that of any ordinary girl who lives a life and been reared up to believe that you're confident, you can do everything by yourself, you're very self-reliant. Having a mother who was always working and away, and a very, very doting father who was very, I mean, he was more of a mother to us all the time. And my mother was more of a, is more of a disciplinarian. In very early on in our life, me and my sister, we both saw very contrarian characteristic of a typical gender. You know, so how people usually see mothers to be very pampering and compassionate, especially towards the children, and fathers to be a bit holding up things in a more stern and tight manner. In our household, that role play was completely different. So which basically never gave us any gender bias. Me and my sister were always brought up like ordinary girls, but with that extraordinary belief and faith that you can go and conquer the world. And very early on, we started living independently. We were always living independently. And we took life head on that way. So that kind of also made me a little, if I may call, tough in life. Also not having anyone else as a male figure in the house, you know, never made me realize that there's actually, in the conditioned sense of the world, there are things that are divided, that there are roles that are divided, that society does expect certain things out of a woman or a girl. And if she doesn't comply or, you know, stay true to it, then there is a level of resistance and unacceptance that may come her way, which may not be easy to deal with. And obviously, my mother being the mother that she is and she's always been, she never let us get shelled into that conditioning. She never let us believe that. But what I would say is that whatever we see back in our families, life or the world outside is still very, very different. I mean, our families definitely give us a perspective to grow with. But when you go out and deal with things in life, they still may come up very differently. And there will be a lot of shades of you yourself that you'll have to uncover to adapt, to fit in, to get along, to get moving, to be successful in life. So when I really stepped out to do things, and because now I was this headstrong and fiery person, so people would not be able to digest it. You know, they would have a lot of resistance that she's like 5 feet nothing, and where is she coming from? What's giving her this strength and so much confidence? So that doesn't go down well sometimes also. So I've seen that it has taken some bit on my persona, because people would not be able to accept you the way that you are. But yeah, that's been a constant conflict, that this is who I am, you take it or leave it. But you cannot keep taking rejection in life. So at some point, you do develop a matured outlook and say that, hey, this is just not the only way. There are ways where you can be yourself and you can be accepted too. So the journey has always been about uncovering that part of me where with these strong concepts, you know, theoretical concepts and things that I have learned back home, when they would not fit in outside, then what is that I need to do to, you know, kind of re-engineer myself? Again, I would not say that fitting in is such a big thing, but yeah, getting on with life and getting her way with things is important, because ultimately that does define your success.
It's a beautiful way you have put it, right? It's finding the balance between the society that you live in and expectations of the society without compromising or without completely changing who you are as a person, right? There is no harm in finding that right balance. And so tell me, how did you get to that place? So, you know, I know there are certain personal things that happened in your life. It'll be good to understand how that all transpired.
You know, for me, being a typical Librarian, and I'm a strict believer of this, I had been into a lot of confused spaces in my life before hitting that personal, like perfect balance of the scales. So for me, the process was always by elimination. You know, sometimes there are people who are very sure of what they want to do. I was pretty headstrong and always knew what I don't want to do. So I always kept eliminating things out of my personality, my choices, where I never wanted to be. Even then, you're left with a lot of choices. You know, even when you have done that whole elimination, you still need some guidance or mentoring or, you know, understanding as to who you are, where you want to shape yourself in future as a career or even just as a person that you want to be. So it's been all a journey by learning, self-learning. I've had many hits and more than that, many, many misses. So be it getting the right partner, getting married to someone you passionately love, to then having a marriage which kind of completely falls apart in a very short time, to then rediscovering yourself, the purpose, the meaning of life, that who you really are or who do you think can fulfill that part in life, and is it really about the other person or is it actually about me? So it has come a full circle. The learning has been by trying it, not getting it right, and then going ahead and trying it again. The turning point in my life, some defining moments were definitely, one was when I decided to sort of take a leap into the unknown of the professional world. My parents always expected me to become a wise doctor or maybe an IAS. The moment I opted to take commerce, I still remember that there was a huge, huge drama in the house. And, you know, my parents couldn't just understand that what happened and what let me trigger and go in this direction and who's influencing me and what is that I see coming out of commerce. So for them, they had pinned those high hopes on me because I was above average performer, and they always thought that I can have my way with medicine. Like I said, I always knew what not to do. So I was 100% sure that their medicine is not something that I'm getting into. But then commerce was the only choice we were left with, and I was pretty all right with it. And I just wanted to explore, and I also wanted to take a something that would give me that bandwidth to explore my talents and knowing the kind of commitment that a study in medicine would require, you can never do more than one thing. So for me, that exploration was very, very important because somewhere deep within me, I was always a struggling artist or that bursting creative person who just wanted to have some outlet. So I thought commerce would be a good fair bit of balance where I could do whatever I'm supposed to do academically. And it would also give me that leeway and time where I can explore my potential and get into things that have always fascinated me, be it theater or be it even radio jockeying or script writing and, you know, filmmaking and all these things that always interested me. So, yeah, so that came as a shock, as a very, very rude shock to my parents. And I remember us not talking, them, you know, really giving me a hard time and me giving them too. And even till I think second year of my college, they were not settled with that decision. Top it all, when I finished my graduation and then came the second turning point that I wanted to opt for media as a career and, you know, as a profession. And that just did not make any sense to them. They completely flipped. And it took them, I still remember, after doing my post-graduation in communication sciences and after having pursued a career in PR for about 5-6 years, my mother was still in denial and she still hoped that I would make something good of myself. And one of the days I actually told her, I said, okay, why don't you come to one of my events and you really see what my job is? Because their incessant question was, what do you do? You're not on the camera. You're name doesn't go in the credit anywhere. You are not popular. You are not, you know, somebody that people know on the road. So what are you doing in media? And what does this whole business of PR and communication means? Why are you working for others? If you had to do that, you would have done something else. I very well remember taking her to one of the launches of my show. I was working with a leading TV company back then. And we had a launch of a show and her coming to the press conference. And then when she saw me on the feet, managing, juggling, coordinating, and, you know, making things happen, that was the day that she acknowledged that I really, really am very proud of who you are and what you're doing. And it takes tremendous strength to do something so courageously and you know, you're young and you're interacting with like hundreds of people and you're on your toes for 20 hours, 18 hours in a go for this one event and putting things together. And that was like the first day when she ever acknowledged me for my work. And that was a very big moment of gratification. So these kind of choices always had me look like a black sheep. But yeah, I would also give it to my parents that despite whatever their doubts and fears and their unsureties and their unknowingness on things, they still always came along. Maybe initially very disinterestingly and reluctantly, but they sort of had that faith that, okay, she will make some good of herself. And then came a time when it was marriage, another biggest decisions of life. And then again, I remember my parents having this huge round of disagreement and that we don't think this is a good fit and you should not be going in this way. And I'd known the person fairly well. I was head over heels in love. You know, it's like that time, passion, even hormones, who knows? So, you know, everything is collaborating and you're like bustling with things and no, you want to start a life, you want to start your own family. And I was super excited and they could see certain things. They could sense certain things as parents, as people who are wise, you know, experienced in life. And I never gave much heed to it, honestly. And I went ahead. I didn't know that end of the tunnel, they really waited a disaster. So, and that too very early in marriage. So that was a big, big jolting moment for me, you know, because that's one decision where you put all your heart and all your emotion and something which kind of turns out otherwise. You really never prepared for these kind of things to happen. So that got me off guard, and that got me thinking that what is that I'm really looking for, and where are my judgments? Where are my decisions coming from? Is it only, am I getting too fooled into my own emotions? Or am I losing my capability and intellect of look through things because I'm so passionately into it? Is it the right way? Is it the balanced way of going about in life? And then came the inquiry to know yourself, to unravel for yourself that why are you making such decisions or going for this kind of a relationship? What made you do that? And under the surface laid this one fearful, insecure Mamta who had no clue of what she wanted in life. And then bit by bit, like I started seeing a marriage counselor, I went in for certain therapies and counseling sessions. And that's when the uncovering really happened. I met this one very vulnerable and fearful girl who was right there deep inside. It's been a point of no return from there. You know, I've always gone back, seeked help, seek support, talk to people, especially professionals, to lead me into certain direction whenever I'm lost.
Amazing. And thank you for sharing that. That's quite a personal story. And thank you for opening up. Now, we obviously grew up at a time and in a country where going through something like that is not easy. And actually, especially talking about it and using that as a catalyst to find who you truly are as a person is not easy. What was your experience like? How did it feel? And what kind of support or lack thereof did you get when you went on that journey?
So true that, Prerna, to much extent, what you said is completely head on, you know, being in a patriarchal society. Like I said in the beginning, that the society is really still, even still after giving all that education and empowerment to their women, they are still not prepared to take the woman as she is, with her follies, with her weaknesses, with her challenges. We as a society has not really matured to take her as a human who she is behind being that gender who she is. So my journey was pretty much the same too. You know, when things began to crumble apart in my first marriage and I was going down the drain, I did not know and I was very unsure to go back to my parents because they could see this coming somewhere. So certainly I did not have the courage to go back to them. And even on occasions when I went back to them, there was a very, very strong and biased opinion that dekha humne kaha tha na aisa ho jayega. You could not see it. You were fooled with your own emotions. And, you know, that sense of righteousness and just reinforcing that we were right and you are wrong. So that started coming in. And I could see that as parents, they are hurt. As people who've reared me, who've nurtured and always stood for me, seeing me crumbling is something that they are not able to deal with. So I knew that this is not the right way to go about it. So I got a friend of mine just dropped in a reference and said that here is a professional marriage counselor. If you think you would want to seek an appointment and just get a third person's view. And I said, yeah, why not? Because, you know, maybe, I mean, I don't know this person. I didn't even know back then what these counseling services and a counselor could do to you. And even if that person credentially, you know, how is one established? Is this the right person to go to or whatever? So I had my list of questions, thoughts, and inhibitions. But then I asked myself then what other way it is really, you know, if you don't give yourself chances and life is all about that, right? So if you know that there is no such unbiased support back home, or, you know, even if it'll be there, it'll take some time for them to come to a level in life where first they will accept and then they can give me that courage and helping hand and then they can pull me out. So, you know, like how they say that in case of emergency, please go for the oxygen mask yourself first. So I said, I need to survive this through to help them survive it with me. So I took it as a responsibility towards myself. And this is about my life. It's a do and die. And I need to jump straight in. So I just straight away dived into these sessions. And there was one and second and then followed up with a few more. And There were some joint counseling sessions also that me and my ex-husband went in for, but maybe it never made sense to him, or he could not see much worth coming out of it, or he had his own personal doubts or wherever things were in his headspace. So, but for me, it started giving me a lot of reassurance that all is not lost, that this is all not what life is about, and that you are much more and can do so much more if you just believe in yourself. And those things, I think in the most, it's a time of crisis when just somebody comes patting on your back and says that all is not lost, or it's all right, you're not the only one. I think that in itself is just such a huge encouragement and huge words for you, which are so simple in normal context, that that just gave me the confidence that, okay, I can go past this either ways. Whether this marriage survives, I can go past that, and I can go past the challenges that it'll bring along. Or even if it doesn't, then I can go past that, and I can still be a very self-assured and confident person. And I still have the courage and confidence to just go and make something out of my life. I don't know whether it'll be another relation, or whether I will progress professionally, or whether this will give me an edge into another world of self-discovery. I didn't know all of that. I mean, there were obviously questions looming on my head that what next? What if not this, then what? Yeah, so my counselor did help me keep that patience with myself and reinstate that faith in life and myself. And that was huge in those moments when you're weakest and you're the most vulnerable.
Three observations. One is getting an objective point of view can be really helpful. And it's interesting you mentioned that, you know, your parents have been some of the biggest supporters that you have had, but even they struggled with something as big as this. So getting an objective viewpoint, an experienced viewpoint, can be quite helpful. You know, I can't help but think that for some reason we live in a world where we can fail at a lot of different things in life, but when it comes to our relationships, somehow that failure, and I'm putting failure in double quotes because it's not a failure, right? Like, it's like I went for a job, the job didn't work out, I will find another job. And it's okay. Everybody is okay with that. Whereas when it comes to relationships and marriage, for some reason, we haven't gotten to that level of maturity and acceptance that, you know what, it's also another part of your life where it's possible. You know, the first relationship you had, or the first that the experience you had, wasn't meant to be. And I think people need to start getting okay with that, because equating a person's identity or success in life or happiness to just relationship or the success of a relationship or another person, I don't think we can ever live a happy and self-fulfilling life.
Yeah, very well said, Prerna. I can't agree more. And just to add to that, any area of your life, celebrating success is huge, but to get to that any kind of success in life, people often fail to see that how much that had lied behind it and what all went right. You know, sometimes few people could just be lucky to get the right partner. Somebody could just be very, very patient and matured very early in life. Somebody could have a very strong family support whose troubled relation still doesn't overshadow his challenges in family, because he has a great support back at home. That family is taking care of the relationship and not just that individual. So there could be just so many variety of reasons for something to be a success. And like that, again, we, like, often as a society, or even as humans, as a humanity, we take things on face value, right? So we would not question it very often. We'll say, oh, yeah, she looks happy, so she must be happy here, happy there, happy everywhere. So like that, even with failure, you know, people don't look beyond and behind that what must have gone. And sometimes it just could be bad luck, you know, all that, you know, the timing didn't work out, or you were somewhere else in your mind space and maybe the other person was not prepared for it, or the families were not prepared for it. Like, again, as I said, in a typical patriarchy, where while you're dating someone or you're going out and in your courtship period, you know, that person comes as a person to you, not as a package to you. But when you get married and go into a system, then there's a whole lot of a package that you're dealing with. And being not a part of that system, you will take some time to adapt, to understand. You are as young as that person is. So often the mistake or whatever you may call it that happens in Indian societal context or marriages is that the comparison of the daughter-in-law begins to happen with how the whole scenario was for the mother-in-law. The comparison never is fair and equitable to that how the life and challenges are with your son or with your own daughter, you know, which is more real world. So that's one part of the story. And obviously, a lot happens with age. So I think people just sometimes become too impatient with themselves, with others, and they kind of lose the plot. So that's where I would say if you are in an Indian setup and you are anyhow, you know, accepting the fact that it's not the marriage between two people, but it's the marriage between two families, then the families must play that role of at least, if not being that support, but just being that, being patient with each other, which I think most of the times goes missing. And in a lot of my own friends and you know, close family members' marriages, I have seen similar issues crop up. So yeah, so now the whole thing reversed, you know, when this whole counseling and this whole prepping up inside was happening, that I'm getting prepped up for whatever is coming my way. If a divorce will come with on my way, I will take it up graciously. And if continuity of this marriage will come, then there will obviously be certain level playing fields on which I'm going to agree to go back into that system. So either which ways, I was gaining more strength by the day with these counseling sessions and sort of resurrecting myself. And when this shift started happening in me, that's what started giving confidence to my parents. This is when they could see that, oh my God, she's going for work from 9 to 6 or 7. And after that, she's running for these counseling sessions. She's draining her money, her energy. Then she's mentally going through whatever that she's going through. And she's doing it all by herself, all alone. So there's something that's missing, that we are missing out. And they all of a sudden started shifting in their attitude and in their perspective towards this whole scene and dramatics that was going on. And it was good 3 years that this whole thing kept happening. And that's when my mother, being the mother that she is, she said, I'm not going to take this lined up. You are making all efforts possible to work on this marriage, to work on yourself. And now if somebody is not picking the right cue and is not even confident to walk those steps with you, this is high time that you move out of this relationship. Believe you me, Prerna, I was so weak in my head and in my heart that 3 years that I kept struggling through and trying to survive into this relationship and you know, somehow make it work. My mother was the first one to take that stand and said that this is high time and you should file in for a separation. I was not prepared for that, and I still did not go ahead with those actions. I said, see, this is too extreme for me. Kind of fatalist optimist that I am, and I call myself that many, many a times. Like, my positivity would just not give up, you know, and I was like, no, I can make this work. In certain marriages, it happens much after people even separate after 20 years, they go through troubled marriages after 10 years. It's just happened too early in our life. That's it. Stay chill, stay cool. I'm going to tackle this down. But again, you know, being coming from that wisdom and experience, they could see that these efforts were going futile. I was burning myself too much, either which ways, you know, mentally, emotionally, and with my resources. So they said that this, you can think about it even more, but this is what our strong suggestion to you is, and you should move on with your life because this is really not going anywhere. And I had not lost hope till then. And one fine day, when I actually received the divorce papers, that's when I got shook up completely. I said, okay, this is the end of it. And okay, it has taken someone else to make that decision, but now that this is the decision, I know what I have to do with my life.
when you look back and obviously fast forward, I don't know how many years now, I know you are happily married, you have kids. What are the key learnings? What are the key takeaways? Because if there's somebody out there who is maybe in a very similar space, who's giving their best, who are trying really hard to hang on to a relationship, which does not necessarily deserve that kind of positivity. So what are your learnings? What would you tell yourself if you could?
Yeah, so there's like a whole list of it, and I could probably publish a book. But I'll try and summarize, because, you know, every day that you look back, there's a new perspective that comes to you, because the way you are now going on with life, and now with that maturity, when you're looking back at things, it's very different. You know, earlier I would say that give it your 100% or never give up, or people will say what they'll say, follow your heart. But now looking back at it more objectively and seeing what I have gone through, I would say that loving yourself, putting yourself up and above anything else in life is much more important. See, you will love this person more than yourself. You may go to any extent to make this work, but you would have lost so many parts of you by then that even a lifetime will not be enough to pick those pieces up. So loving someone to that extent where you have to keep sacrificing or keep putting yourself down or tearing yourself down is really not worth it. A relationship is always about equality. Yes, there are phases when somebody gives more or somebody gives less. But that state of understanding you get to after you have invested something in a relationship. You know, if you are too early in your marriage and you can pick up signs that we haven't even come this far and this is already not working out, then those are, you know, alerts. Then you must take them a little seriously. Either you work towards making it work, making your differences work, go for a professional opinion, go if the families are not coming around and you're really, you know, faced up against a challenge that people are not understanding you, please go ahead, go for mutual sessions if that helps. If the person is not with you on that, go for individual sessions. But even after working on yourself, it's not working out, then there is a bigger scheme of things in which your life is. So don't get too personal about it. You know, it's very difficult to say that this is my life and how can I not get personal. But it's also a very objective way of saying that this is only a part of your life. This is not the sum total of who you are or what you're meant to be in life. Everybody has the capability to surprise himself, to do things that he never imagined that he or she is capable of, to go and achieve all that he has dreamt or aspired to. But do you have that kind of patience with yourself? Do you have the right support? Do you have the right wherewithal to be where you really want to be? And till you have not got that, and family is a very, very core and intrinsic part to it. A good marriage is a very core and intrinsic part to it. But let's also remember that there are so many achievers who have been, who will be, who have gone all alone and who have done it all by themselves. So I'm not saying be a rebel for no reason in your life. But all I'm saying is that when you get these signs, then please pick them early on. Be judicious with your resources, where you want to invest. And when I say resources, it necessarily doesn't mean money. It means your emotional resources, how much you really want to exhaust yourself. Do you want to exhaust yourself in a relationship where there is no point of return to accept yourself, that you get up in the morning and look at this person and you say, I don't even know what you have become, which has been a very conditioned way to live. You know, all our previous generations, and they have been living out of that fear of no choice because of their inflexibility to go out and do start from the start. Or maybe sometimes they just get so emotionally bound and incapacitated because they put themselves so much into that relationship that they can't take that bold step. Today, we are not in that age and era. We all have education by our side, you know, things that we can be grateful about, our own families, our own friends. We have counseling support, center, people, professionals, there are organized ways of doing these things or leading yourself into this. Go for those. Don't give up on yourself in terms of log kya kahenge. But so be it. You know, that's not the only thing that you're meant to do in life. So you have to really step back and look at a larger picture. Look at yourself in those in that picture. That where do you want to see yourself? Is this the sole purpose of your life and journey? What is that you really want to create? Is it only this one relationship that your life is worth around? Or do you want to create more miracles? So these are some pertinent questions I would want everyone to think of, to delve into this inquiry, and certainly 100% go ahead with the professional help and guidance.
Thank you. I think that's a really mature and I can see how much personal experience and personal growth has gone into coming up with that insight, right? Because it's very easy for people to just get influenced and swayed by what's happening around them and what, I guess, a societal norm is. But it takes a lot of courage to kind of put yourself first and say, actually, let me first start with what is it that I want? What does this relationship actually mean to me?
What I got the understanding of was also the power of the law of attraction, how you can be the center of the life that you want and how you are probably attracting all that's happening to you. That led me and kind of fed me and steered me on my journey to my spiritual quest also. So these were the aspects of me myself, which I was never introduced to. If I may use Hindi here, a bit of it, that aapko sabse zyada bhagwan ki yaad aapke tough time mein aati hai. This thing cannot be more true than this. Because when I went through all of that I was going through, the only way I could see anything good or any, you know, silver lining coming out of those clouds was with divine intervention. And to that extent that I even saw the person, this counselor coming into my life as a divine intervention, because she just came at that time when I needed that intervention, I needed that support, and I needed that complete change of landscape to happen. And it couldn't have happened if it was not this person. So yeah, deep down, I always knew that I deserve a happy life and I'm going to make one for myself. Deep down, I always knew that I'm going to be in one good, stable relationship. And that was important to me. And I strived for it yet again. And when the right opportunities came to me, the right kind of messages, signals the universe was giving me, I acted on that. I did not take it, you know, that, oh my God, now what? Or if this doesn't work, or, you know, those doubts, and did not let those fears to creep. In fact, I was very fast in making those decisions and saying that I got to put my past into the past. And if for me as a human, you know, this emotional fulfillment is very important for my self-growth and self-validation to some extent, then so be it. You know, people strive to get a degree from Harvard, and that is the biggest high for them in life. For me, the biggest high was to have a successful relationship, to have a family of my own, to have a beautiful house of my own. So I wanted these things to manifest. I worked towards them rather than just looking back at what did not work. And step by step, life did unfold very, very beautifully. So in fact, my second marriage happened out of going to this counselor. Because my husband now, he was also seeking some support and used to go for his Reiki trainings under the same person. And she's also my master and guru, and she's trained me into Reiki. And that's where we met. And she actually played Cupid to us. So, you know, if you really have that thirst in life, you will attract that for yourself and it will manifest. No matter how impossible it may look, things will fall in place. Like I said, just a bit of patience and just a bit of more of self-love and self-acceptance that, okay, this is happening to me. I get it. It is tough time. It's not going to be easy. There are other challenges in other people's life, and gratitude for what you have, of course. There are people who are disoriented, or they may have some tragic accident due to which they may lose their memory, or any drastic event. There are people who lose their parents early in life. So all sorts of things happen in life, all sorts of traumas and failures and things that you don't want, you would have ever thought of happening. They do happen. Everybody learns to live with it, to grow out of it, and still seek a purpose for what they are born and meant to do. So be on that journey consistently. Be consistent with your life. Don't give up on yourself, because you will surprise yourself in ways you don't know. Life will surprise you in ways that you don't know. You got to trust life a little bit too.
Amazing. You are so inspiring, and those words are so inspirational. So thank you for sharing that. Just switching gears a little bit and getting into a bit of a rapid fire round, a close out this amazing conversation. So having gone through all of that, having had the fortune of being able to find yourself, what is your life's mantra now?
My life's mantra is very, very simple. It has always been, and I think will always be, that live and let live. I think there can't be more power to just living a peaceful life in your head, in your thoughts, and allowing people to be the way that they are, and being yourself the way that you are. I think that's the biggest power we can give to each other.
Yeah, and that's the best way to show that you love each of us. Love ourselves, right? I think that's how you get to that conclusion. Amazing. And one final question. What are you most excited about in the next 12 months?
Oh, I'm very excited about my podcast. I can't help but promote it, Prerna. So I've also recently just, taken a creative leap. This is something that's always been very close to my heart, not in the format of a podcast, but I'd always been a very, very auditory driven individual. Not many people know. And this also comes from the pride that I take that my father has been a very, very big creative influence in our lives. He was somebody who was always set up for theater, singing, and no matter whatever is the weirdest demand we must have put on him, that take us to this audition, or I want to go and attend this concert in the middle of the night. He's always, always supported us throughout. So that led to my, a creative journey with myself. And I took to a bit of writing, and I took to some of radio. And back then in those days at home, we never used to have satellite channels or Netflix and all of that. So he made us listen to a lot of old Hindi songs. And we, as a generation, as two girls, when we had to self-amuse ourselves, the parents are not around, you don't have so many games and pursuits. So we heard a lot of radio. In my early years of life, I've heard a lot of radio. In fact, to that extent, I got so influenced by radio that one day I actually recorded a piece for my mother just to prank her out, saying that you've been asked to discontinue your services. And because I was going on all in Hindi, I was recording this as a radio show for my mother to listen in. And I said, aapko apki job se astifa diya jata hai. And that's where they really caught me. That obviously this is not the truth. And I did it in such a professional way that the first 2 minutes of it, they heard it so intently and they said, okay, this does look like a public announcement. And, there's something really drastically wrong. And your mother being chucked out of a government job, and my father was looking here and there, and the minute they heard this, they caught me, and obviously I got a good amount of spanking. But all I'm trying to say is that auditory has always been my medium. I've always been very excited, and very early on in life also, I went in for radio auditions. I did some radio shows. So I have also done a professional course in radio jockeying. So this as a medium has been always very, very close to my heart. And I'm so glad that I'm able to, with the help of technology now, despite whatever circumstances of life that I'm in with two kids and, full on responsibilities of the family and home, I'm able to invest that time in that passion, which I've held so close to my heart all these years. So I'm really looking forward to that journey.
Wow. For our listeners, before we started the podcast, I did tell my Mamta she had the most amazing radio voice. Now it all makes sense to me. But for those of you who are interested in listening to her podcast, it's called Unbound with Mamta. It's available on all the usual podcast channels. It's an amazing podcast and you should all check it out. Listen, thank you, Mamta, so much for coming on my podcast and sharing your journey. I do hope, as is always the case with my podcast, that somebody out there will get inspired and could relate to what you have gone through and will get that courage to also find a way to fall in love with themselves. So thank you for your time.
Absolutely, Prerna. All that we can give to ourselves in this life is loving ourselves. And I really want each of us to just close our eyes for a moment and think that what is it going to be like saying bye to this world? And when you're on that deathbed, you don't want to regret it, right? So fall in love with yourself.
Thank you.
And there you have it. A stunning story of resilience and self-discovery. A story that reminds us that our life is a lot more than just our relationships, and that hits and misses in all aspects of our life are what define us. So let's not allow one miss in one aspect define our whole story. Thanks for tuning in to #Fly. Stay tuned for the next episode with Zareen Swamy on how she found her way back from the effects of a not-so-positive childhood.